Yeah.
Woo woo.
Yeah. So we are back. It is official. The NBA is back.
It's
Lakers beat the Clippers last night, 103-101. Dodgers beat Arizona 6-3. We've got sports back. Last night, John, you got to call the game. It looked like a very, very chippy game, which both teams wanted to win. LeBron James didn't have his best shooting night, but boy, he played defense that very last sequence where he was guarding Kawhi, then switched off to Paul George, had him try to make an impossible shot to tie the game, and LeBron's defense was the reason they held on to that game late.
Well, LeBron's a former first-team all-defensive player, so people forget that he's got that club in his bag. But can we take a minute to, I mean, Mace, I was stunned at how well that came off. Stunned at the job the NBA did, not just in the Laker-Clipper game, but in that first game, that Jazz-Pelicans game. I mean, they've pulled off, as we're finding, and we'll get to the baseball stuff in a second, as we're finding, this is not easy to play sports in a pandemic. And not only did they pull it off, but didn't those look, feel, and sound like completely normal NBA games?
Yeah. I mean, it is weird with no crowd. The one angle I don't like, and see if you agree with me, John, is that NBA 2K angle with the fans in the background. It honestly looks like an NBA 2K game. It's interesting, but it throws me off. But I think the NBA has done an absolutely exceptional job of figuring this out, putting the right puzzle pieces together to be able to create this bubble and to be able to create an environment where there have been no positive tests now in over a week. Kudos to Adam Silver and to the NBA for making this happen.
And baseball's the flip side of that, which, again, we'll get to in a second. But so let's get to the game.
Yes.
I thought all four of these Laker-Clipper games have felt chippy to me.
Yeah.
The Clippers won the first two. The Lakers won the last two. I can see an argument for either side. If you're a Laker fan, you say, they have no answers for Anthony Davis.
None whatsoever.
They cannot guard him.
And by the way, Montrezl Harrell isn't the answer either.
No, Anthony Davis averaged 28 points a game against the Clippers in those four games. And LeBron, you know, let's face it, there are tons of star players on the court at the end of these games, and LeBron is the one who came up big with the game on the line. And all four guys were out there and had a chance to do it. So that's what you feel good about. If you're a Laker fan, if you're a Clipper fan, you feel good about the fact that you led by double digits in the second half and you almost won that game without two of your key bench players.
Yep.
Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. Mace, I know you don't want Lakers Clippers in the playoffs, but man, do I.
Oh, no, I would love to see the Clippers not. That's not happening. It's going to be Lakers Clippers.
Can you imagine
in the Western
seven
Conference
games
Finals
of that? And I think it would go six or seven games. And I think what it would come down to is which one of the four stars comes up big with the game on the line. And last night it was LeBron.
Yep, it was LeBron who scored the go-ahead basket and then just brilliant defense on Kawhi and Paul George. And great night for AD, though. Great night for AD. 8 of 19 from the field. 34 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. And let's give it up for, and I've been very, very critical of Kyle Kuzma. I have questioned Kyle Kuzma. He had that great preseason game on Saturday, it was, against Orlando. And I said, yeah, but you got to be better than a 29% three-point shooter. Last night he was 4 of 7 from 3. And 16.7 rebounds, a plus 12, second best on the team. Do you know who had the best plus minus on the team?
I would guess it was Deion Waiters.
It was Deion Waiters. 21 minutes, 5 of 10 from the field, 17 points for Deion Waiters. I said it yesterday, and I still believe it, and was not swayed off the opinion last night, that of those two guys that the Lakers signed, J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters, Deion Waiters is the one that's going to get the real rotation minutes. He got him last night, he earned him last night, and he was great.
So, with the win, the Lakers basically lock up the West. They are now 6.5 games up with 7 to go. So it's just a formality now as to when they're going to catch it. And on this subject, Mace, I think now you're Frank Vogel. You use these last seven games to audition the Avery Bradley minutes.
Yes.
You basically say, okay, KCP, you get the start. They're now 19-2 with that starting lineup that they used last night. But the minutes that Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo would normally get are going to go to some combination of Alex Caruso, Deion Waiters, and J.R. Smith. And last night, I thought Waiters made a case to play the majority of those minutes. Caruso
yeah.
played good, too.
And Alex Caruso didn't have a great game, but made that fantastic defensive play, saving the ball when it would have been out of bounds in a turnover. I thought he made a great play and does all those little things right. Hey, can we listen to – this is my favorite play-by-play announcer. Let's listen to my favorite play-by-play announcer with the final call of last night's Lakers-Clippers game.
Jackson brings it into Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi one-on-one with LeBron. Kawhi still dribbling. Kawhi dribbles into the paint. Kawhi steps back. The Lakers have Paul George. George is out near half court. 2 seconds left. 1 second left. Three for the win. And no good. Was a foul called? No. And the Lakers win it. 103-101.
That's my favorite play-by-play announcer with the moment of the game. Was it weird to get back on the air and get to do a game?
It's, you know, it's not, I won't tell you it's the same as being in a building with the fans and with the excitement and everything that goes with it, but I think we'll get used to it. And like I said at the top of the show, I'm just glad we get the games back. By the way, with the win, you know, I mentioned the Lakers are probably going to get the number one seed. I was ready to come on, Mace, 20 minutes ago and tell you that Portland's playing Memphis right now in the bubble.
Yep.
And Portland
had
a 13-point lead. And I was ready to tell you that they didn't look just a little better than Memphis. They look way better than Memphis. And Memphis has roared back in the third quarter. Memphis, who was down by 13, now leads by 11. Grizzlies 94, Blazers 83, but a ton of time left. 2:18 to go in the third.
And that is a huge game because Portland is a team that's chasing Memphis for the 8 seed. Portland would need to be within 4 games of Memphis to force a play-in game or a play-in tournament, depending if another team gets in that striking distance. But this is a really big game for Memphis, important especially because Memphis drew a short straw in terms of scheduling. They had the 8th toughest schedule in the seeding games, which is really not especially fair. Ja Morant talked about it yesterday. Not especially fair, but they're poised now with less than 2 minutes to play to beat Portland, which is a big, big win for them.
Yeah, but plenty of time here. I don't think you can call this yet.
No.
And we'll keep you posted on the status of this game. But I think that even if you're a Laker or a Clipper fan, you have reasons to feel good about last night, which turned out to be those 4 Laker-Clipper games were just fantastic.
All great. All great.
All of them decided by single digits. All the big stars. Paul George didn't play in the first one, but all 4 stars played in games 2, 3, and 4, and they all played well. Last night, as you mentioned, LeBron did not shoot well, but took over the game in the fourth quarter and came up with some huge plays. And here's the thing about Anthony Davis. They don't have anybody to guard him, and when that happens, Mace, all they can do is foul him, and you can't foul him because
he
makes
all
his free
throws. Yeah.
He's an 85% free throw shooter, and last night he made 16 out of 17 free throws, which is going to be critical if those teams meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. It was all around a great, fun night. I thought it was finally there was like some relief after talking, John, for literally months about the concept of this bubble. We have been talking about it for such a long time. To see it pay off with some great basketball, and by the way, the first game also really, really good. Weirdly, Zion Williamson playing odd spurts, like the first 4 minutes of each quarter kind of thing. But, I mean, the first game went down to the wire as well, so 2 really good games last night in the NBA. And by the way, 4.1 million people watched last night's games. That is double the normal Thursday night TNT average. So a lot of people tuned in, a lot of people locked into those games.
And the games continue today, and the Lakers play again tomorrow night, Saturday night at 5:30. We'll have that game for you as well. And then they play again Monday. They play Utah on Monday. So a lot of Laker basketball coming up over the next really couple of weeks, and they'll play right up until the 13th, and then they'll take a break for a couple of days, and the playoffs start on the 17th. So a lot going on. Now, the opposite of what's happening with the Lakers is happening in baseball.
What a meltdown.
Jeff Passan posted a story to ESPN this morning reporting that Rob Manfred has told the director of the players' union, Tony Clark, that if the baseball players don't get their act together and stop screwing around, that he could shut down the season, Mace, maybe as soon as Monday.
Yeah.
And there are three games postponed for COVID-related reasons tonight.
Yeah, and if you look at what's going on, the two positive tests with St. Louis today were devastating, because now they've got to reschedule or postpone the game at least today between Milwaukee and St. Louis, and a full 20% of tonight's scheduled games, St. Louis-Milwaukee, Phillies-Blue Jays, Washington-Miami, all postponed. Milwaukee and St. Louis could play as soon as tomorrow. Miami won't play until at least Monday. Toronto, Washington, Philly won't play until at least Tuesday. And I know they've conceded now on this 2 7-inning games in a doubleheader thing, and that could help schedule-wise. But they've got much bigger tests before they ever start thinking about that. Scott Miller, who's a great baseball writer, reported today that an internal investigation found that the Marlins, and remember, the Marlins now have 20 people in their traveling party testing positive for COVID. The Marlins were a very large lapse in the protocols during Atlanta last weekend. Players going out, players in the hotel bar, lots of MLB people very unhappy with Miami. So all of the rumor and the insinuation that Miami went out on the town or did something to break quarantine, all that stuff apparently is true via Scott Miller. The Marlins left the hotel. They hung out in the hotel bar. All the stuff that you're not supposed to do. And they're paying for it now, and baseball's paying for it now, with 20 positive COVID tests in that Marlins traveling party.
And in this Jeff Passan report, it mentions that, and it talks about how it openly questions. It says broadcasts have shown that players are high-fiving, spitting, and not wearing masks, and government officials are wondering how seriously players are taking the protocols. And if the players are this stupid and they don't want to follow the rules, then maybe they should shut it down. I hope not, because the Dodgers now are rolling. They won again last night.
Yeah, won again last night. Nice win. Homers for Pollock and Seager and who else? Max Muncy, and a really good bullpen performance after a shaky Ross Stripling performance. So they're playing really well. It would be a shame now to lose this season, because the Dodgers are off to such a good start. We'll let you know that coming up for you today on the show, a bunch of really good stuff. So Chris Rose from the MLB Network is going to join us at 3:30 today. We'll talk about what's going on with the COVID situation, a little bit about the Dodgers start, and the Joe Kelly thing, which is still bubbling around. Funny moment last night for Joe Davis. Did you hear that from Joe Davis last night?
No.
Do you have that there? There was a moment where a ball got away from Ross. I think it was Ross Stripling. A breaking ball, and hit Starling Marte in the head, completely inadvertent, but hit what Joe Davis said.
Starling Marte gets hit in the head by a curveball. It just slipped out of Stripling's hand, and a base runner to open this inning for the D-backs. And he nods and says, "I'm okay." And Ross Stripling is... Good news, been suspended for 100 games. 100-game suspension. Wow, I better appeal.
100-game suspension for Ross Stripling. All right, so Chris Rose at 3:30. Mark Spears, who's inside the bubble, will join us at 4:15. Plus all the usual stuff. We'll get you all the headlines at 4 o'clock. We will get you Radio Tinder at 4:45. And Game of Games, which John has already clinched for the month of July.
Yeah.
This one is just for pride. We will play Game of Games before we get to Angels baseball. We're off at 6 tonight for Angels Astros. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, day after the Lakers beat the Clippers in a thriller. Last possession of the game, LeBron was unbelievable, D'd up Kawhi, then switched on to Paul George and forced him into an impossible shot to tie or win the game. Here's Frank Vogel on LeBron's last possession.
Yeah, well, you know, that possession right there, we didn't want to call a timeout and give them the ability to sub. So, you know, he's been great in that situation, targeting the defender that he wants to go at. Got to the paint, got a good look, and, you know, like you said, just followed his shot. A great competitive spirit play. And, you know, his defense on the last possession obviously helped secure the game. But all throughout, you know, he was terrific on the ball. And as always, just a quarterback of our defense with his voice calling out coverages.
That's Frank Vogel on Spectrum Sportsnet. Here is LeBron on the defensive mindset that the Lakers have for these seeding games.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been out for 4 months or whatever it was since the last action we had versus Brooklyn at Staples Center. So, you know, rhythm is part of offensively making shots. Those things are going to take a little bit longer, you know, to get, you know, back to your rhythm and your flow and how you shoot the ball and things of that nature. But the one thing you can do is defend, because you can always communicate. You can communicate through mistakes that you may happen. You can, you know, you have teammates that, you know, back you up when you do make a mistake or whatever case may be. So the communication and defensive side is something that should always be on point.
And then before the game, before both games last night, moments of tribute to the movement, the racial justice movement that's taking place right now in America, continuing to give that movement some momentum. Here's and the both the Clippers and the Lakers knelt for the national anthem last night. Here's Kyle Kuzma on that.
It means a lot. You know, that's one thing that our country is lacking right now, and that's unity. You know, we've been such a divided country for so many years. And I think for us, the platform that we have and everyone in the world watching us right now, I think it's important for us to show that unity.
I thought those moments were handled really well. Now, the one thing I don't know, and John, maybe you've got a hypothesis on this thing, is that something that the players are going to continue doing, kneeling during the anthem, and do you think it will continue to be shown on broadcasts?
I don't know the answer to your first question. I don't know if that was a one-time thing, if they're going to continue to do it. It seemed to me that they are going to cover that stuff, that for whatever reason last night, normally TV drops out of that and doesn't show the anthem, but they do in the finals and sometimes in the conference finals, particularly if you have a big-name singer doing it. And so if it's noteworthy, they're going to cover it, and I think TNT's decided to do that. So we'll have to wait and see if they're going to do it every game or if it was just to do it as a one-time thing. Hey, I wanted to get this in here, too. We've got a ton of stuff going on today. But
yeah, too much show. Yeah,
the Pac-12 has announced revised schedules and that they're going to try and play football in the fall. They're going to try and play a 10-game schedule. And currently, their opener is scheduled. Both USC and UCLA are scheduled to open September 26th at the Rose Bowl. Here's the weird thing, Mace. Against each other.
Yeah, weird.
UCLA and USC are scheduled to play each other in week one. Nothing about this sounds like it's going to happen, does it?
I don't think so. In fact, I'm sure you saw the story some frat party at USC turned up 40 positive COVID tests. I don't know how it's possible to play college football. I don't know how it's possible to, you know, the NBA players, the Major League Baseball players, they're being tested every day. Colleges don't have the resources to be able to have those kinds of testing protocols in place so that everybody that's part of that team can be tested every day. And we're seeing outbreaks. I mean, look, the Marlins apparently went out on the town a little bit, and they wind up with 20 positive COVID tests. You know, go to a party. If you're a college kid and you go to a party, I mean, 40 kids at a frat party turn up positive for COVID. I mean, I don't know how they do it. And the only thing I can think with USC and UCLA being on the very first weekend on, I think it's September the 26th, is they think it's unlikely that they're going to get the entire schedule in. So why not at least give people rivalry games that they can get excited about to start the year?
My other thought was no travel.
No travel. That's another good point.
So it becomes very easy to move it. And they even issued a statement today, both athletic directors, and it said, to your point, it says, in particular, our football schedules create the opportunity for us to shift our season opening contest to open dates later in the season, either October 31st or December 12th, if necessary. So they're already thinking that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But to me, it just seems unlikely. I'm not rooting against it. I don't know anybody who would root against these teams playing, but there's nothing that feels safe or prudent about this playing football at this point.
Yeah, I want to let people know, too, that LAFC is continuing in the MLS. MLS's back tournament. They play Orlando today at 4:30. We are streaming that game on the ESPN app with Dave Denham on the call. LAFC playing for a berth in the semifinals of that tournament. And last night, as we mentioned, Dodgers with a 6-3 victory. Here's a little taste of what they were able to do at the plate last night.
Pollock lifts a fly ball to left field that sends Peralta back at the wall. There it goes! Skyscraping home run for A.J. Pollock. He stays hot, and the Dodgers lead 3-0 here in the first inning. Turns on this ball, lifts it deep to right field. Calhoun's back, and Seager's gotten Ray. A deep home run, and the Dodgers lead 4-0. Seventh pitch to Muncy. Lifted to left center field. Marte going back on it, turning and watching it go. Max Muncy with an opposite field home run that just kept on carrying. And the Dodgers lead at 6-1 on Muncy's third.
All right, so you're the biggest baseball fan at the station.
Yes.
You read Jeff Passan's story today.
I did.
You think they're going to crown a World Series champion? What's your gut telling you?
My gut is telling me that they are. Gut is telling me that they are. My gut is telling me that Rob Manfred is everybody's daddy right now. And everybody's daddy has just given them a warning. Knock it off. Play by the rules. Or you're going to get in trouble. In other words, the season's going to be canceled. I think it was a big come to Jesus today. I think Tony Clark is talking to players right now. I mean, we've said this about the NBA bubble. It will be true in all sports that we cover. You are only as strong as your weakest link. And so far, your weakest link, if you think about it this way, John, there was the Marlins outbreak. Then there were two positive COVID tests, a clubby and a coach for the Philadelphia Phillies. We assume that came from playing the Marlins. And then we've got two positive tests for St. Louis going into a series with Milwaukee, and they're expected to play tomorrow. Aside from the Marlins, there have only been four positive tests. So, yes, they got a talking to from Daddy Manfred. But I really think this could be a wake-up call for players. And still, the damage is, and the damage, I mean, the COVID, still basically is a Marlins thing. You've got a couple other cases. One, the two of them because of the Marlins, and two, that we don't know the details from St. Louis. But I still think it's relatively contained, don't you think?
Well, like you pointed out, there's no it's starting to trickle out that there are some non-Marlins related positive tests, but we don't even know that. We may be able to tie these back to the Marlins once we figure out exactly what happened. I oddly agree with you. I just have a sense they're going to figure all this out, and we're going to get Chris Rose in here next. Chris works for the MLB Network and hosts a daily show there. We'll get his thoughts on whether or not baseball is going to finish and how they're going to do it. In the meantime, Mace, this game between Portland and Memphis,
yeah, it's a good one.
It's crazy. 6.5 minutes to go in the game, Memphis by 5, and it has a direct correlation to who the Lakers play in the first round. If the Grizzlies win this game, it is a huge blow to the Blazers. If the Blazers win, they would only be 2.5 back, and the Grizzlies have a very difficult schedule. This would at least be a huge step for Portland to activate the play-in tournament. So massive stakes on the line for the 8th spot in this game. 6.5 minutes to go. We'll keep you posted on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, John Morant in that game is 15 with 8 assists. And Damian Lillard in that game is 21 with 6 assists.
Lillard and McCollum have 40 between them.
Yeah, McCollum's got 23. I see that there.
Well, so now it's up to 44.
Yep. All right. So coming up next, Chris Rose from MLB Network will join us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? Day after the Lakers beat the Clippers, Dodgers beat the D-backs last night. But today, a warning from Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He talked to Tony Clark today and says that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it could shut down the entire season. So that has not happened. But there has been an outbreak with the Marlins. Joining us right now from MLB Network is Chris Rose. Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Good, guys. What's up?
Hey, Chris, great to have you. And let me just start there. What's your sense of confidence? I actually have been so kind of hooked on these baseball games. I found myself the other day watching an A's-Rockies game in the middle of the day, which I had never done before in my life. So I was so glad to get baseball back, and now I keep seeing these postponements. How serious should I take these? Do you buy the theory that it's jeopardizing the entire sport and they might shut it down, or is that just a parent issuing a really stern warning?
Well, I think it's a parent but also a partner in this. I don't think that it was necessarily, hey, if you don't do your homework, then you can't go out this weekend. I didn't read it that way. I read it as we, meaning the collective we, meaning players, yeah, management, everybody has to do a better job. Let's be honest here. This is the first major team sport outside of a bubble trying to navigate something we've never gone through, right?
Yep.
So we knew that baseball was going to be the first sport to quote-unquote take its lumps, you know, and that even with the best planning, there were going to be steps that you didn't know about. Now, obviously, the hardest part of this whole thing is being outside of a bubble because, heck, John, we've seen it even in the NBA, and Steve, guys have wandered out of the bubble,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
And and they've had to follow certain protocols in order to, once they get back in the bubble, and then be allowed back on the court and things of that nature. Here it's different. You know, there are reports that there were some Miami players that went out in Atlanta during the exhibition season. That's the sort of stuff that can't happen if you're going to have a successful endeavor through this pandemic.
And I think, and Rob Manfred has said this, and baseball has understood this, that there were going to be positive tests, right? It was going to happen. They're unavoidable. Right now, there have been 29 positive tests. 21 are from Miami. The other 8 include only 2 players, 1 player at an alternate site, and then 5 staff members. If you think about that, there have only been 29 positive tests, and 21 were from the Marlins, who may have gone out on the town, depending on how it's been described. That's actually that makes me optimistic that there have only been 8 tests outside of Miami.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that and listen, if I owned a team, if I ran a team, I would continue to harp on this point that it's the success of a season is contingent on everybody making bubble-like decisions, because that's the hard thing for all of these sports moving forward that can't be in a bubble or aren't in a bubble, right? I mean, I've talked to a ton of major league players. They all say the same thing. They feel safest when they're at the stadiums. They really do. And, you know, I think that in some cases, the players and the coaches have to do a better job of being socially distant. They've got to stop the high-fiving. They've got to, you know, and it's not anything they're consciously doing. It's just stuff they've done for decades as baseball players. You score, heck, you move a runner over. What do? You get high fives in the dugout. Like, we just got to be good enough to think about it, and there's going to be like some sort of hall monitor now for each team to make sure they're following not only all of the on-field protocols that we're talking about here, but when they're on the road and they can't leave the hotel and stuff like that. I mean, I get it that they're adults and they're grown men, but they have to be reminded about this because it's so foreign to the way that we have lived our lives before the spring.
We're talking to Chris Rose, who does such a good job on the MLB Network and Fox and all the other places he's worked. And Chris, I thought about you when the Dodgers signed Mookie Betts, and Mookie got this 12-year contract. All these great elite superstars are getting them. And the Indians, for people who don't know, Chris is from Cleveland. He's a big Indians fan. Are going to face this with Francisco Lindor. And do you want them to give Lindor a 12-year contract? I mean, I don't – 12 years is a ton of time. Most of those contracts don't work. But then he's such a good player. Where do you come down on these, like, insane 12-year, close to $400 million contracts?
Well, there haven't been a ton of those. There have been a bunch over $200 million that haven't worked out. I mean, like – the perfect contract that has worked out for player and team is the Max Scherzer deal. I think it was 7 years for something like $215 million, and he's actually deferred half his money. So that guy's going to get paid until he's like 68
right,
or something.
Right.
But he has been exactly what you want. He's been a workhorse. He's won individual awards. He helped them win a World Series a year ago. He's a stand-up dude. And that's, for people that really haven't followed Francisco Lindor other than maybe on our highlight shows or maybe you've seen an interview with him, there aren't 3 players in baseball that are a better combination of talent on the field, human being off it, and guy that can promote and market a sport which is desperately in need of it. I'm telling you, I'm not being a homer. I'm 49 years old. He's only been a big leaguer since 2015. He might be my favorite player that's ever played for my hometown team.
No
kidding.
That's saying
something.
Wow.
He and I have actually talked about this a little bit.
I was just going to mention
how much he means to, like, the city. But he also knows, without saying it, that they can't afford him.
Yeah.
And that's a crusher.
Yeah, I guess you'll have to settle with Shane Bieber, who looks like the best pitcher in baseball right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He's a machine.
Sold.
He's a machine. So as you look around the league, what's your take on the Dodgers here in the early going?
I was surprised they ended up splitting with the Giants. I thought that they were just going to pummel that bullpen. But if they don't win that division by six games, I'd be shocked. And six games doesn't sound like a ton. But when you're only playing 37% of a season, that's a ton. So that's like winning it by, I don't know, I'm no math major here, but maybe by 16 games during the regular season.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes,
Yeah, they're great. They're really good. And, you know, Kershaw might come back Sunday, might come back Monday.
Chris, let me jump in on that. They just announced Kershaw's going to start Sunday and Bueller is going to start Monday. So that's official. Kershaw starts Sunday for the Dodgers. But go ahead.
Yeah, and if you're a Dodger fan, here's the way I look at it. The Dodgers can't come out and say it, but when you're a hack sports cable TV show host like me, you can't say it. They only worry about him being healthy and being ready to be a horse in October.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to say it, but that's the way they feel.
We would be remiss if we did not mention my personal hero of the week, Joe Kelly, who got suspended too many games.
We disagree about this. I thought Joe Kelly had to get suspended for what he did. Mason would give him no suspension. Zero.
None
with an exclamation point. If you're Rob Manfred, what do you do with Joe Kelly?
Well, Steve, I want to hear your argument as to why zero games.
Okay, my argument for zero games is, number one, why did the umpire on the field not warn Joe Kelly or eject Joe Kelly? Why did he not warn the dugout at some point? Hey,
he screwed up.
But why aren't you letting the umpires on the field run the game? And by the way, sometimes a fastball does get away from you. He was wild that night. I take him at his word that fastball got away from him along with those two breaking balls. I think they just got away from him.
Steve?
Yeah.
I'm just thankful you're not the third rose child in this house. Because when it comes to lying, you better be better than that. If you're going to win me over, you better come stronger than that, my friend. I will say this. I understand the Dodgers being upset.
Yes.
Still with the Astros. I understand anybody in Major League Baseball that plays the game and their fans. Like, I get all of that. This is a separate issue to me than let's play this out differently. If the Astros had been stripped of the title and Rob Manfred came out in a preseason interview and said he hadn't gone down that road mentally, if they had, do you think that the Dodgers would not have thrown at the Astros that they would have said, hey, you know what, no big deal? Or do you think they still would have been as pissed?
I don't think they would. I don't think they would have been as pissed, because then at least there would have been a punishment for those players. Stripping Houston of a World Series is significant.
They would never have stripped one franchise and then given the ring to somebody
else. Oh, no.
You can't do that.
No, so, you can't. But Chris, I think the big thing is none of those Houston players were ever punished for what they did. And I understand there was an immunity agreement and all that stuff, but they still got no punishment.
I know. And so if you're going to take the law into your own hands, sometimes you're going to get punished. You just are. And I've never been a fan of throwing above the shoulders. I heard Colin Cowherd the other day say, really, how many careers have ended because of it? Go ask Dickie Thon how that went for him, okay? Mm-hmm. All it takes is one. And I know that career was ruined because he got hit in the face. So don't give me that it doesn't happen very much. If it happens once, that's too many. So I would have been okay with a shorter suspension, but you have to have a suspension. Matt Barnes, who was a pitcher for the Red Sox a few years ago, he didn't hit Manny Machado, but he threw over his head, and he got suspended four games, I think.
So here's the thing, though, Chris. As a Dodgers fan, suspension aside, that felt good. That felt very, very good that there was just a little bit of punishment against the Astros.
Yeah, but at the end, here's my other point. What's the end game there? Like, the Astros know that the Dodgers hate them. They know that the city of L.A. hates him. So, like, at the end of the day, whether Alex Bregman got hit by a 96-mile-an-hour ball or didn't, like, if he got hit, let's play this out. He gets hit. Do all the Astros run to the clubhouse, grab their World Series rings, and say, guys, you were right. Here you go. Take the rings. Like, what's the end game? Just, we're upset, and I get it. Like, you're upset.
See, I'm a big believer in
the outcome.
I'm a big believer in baseball's frontier justice, which has existed for over 120 years, Chris. Baseball players have regularly, since the beginning of the game, taken things into their own hands. And I would argue if Joe Kelly had done that and there had been no penalty, this would have been very much over.
I will say why it is good what Joe Kelly did. And I understand him standing up for, you know, I mean, he probably won over a bunch of guys if he hadn't already. I mean, I know he's been there over a year. But man, you better not run for mayor of my town anytime soon. I don't know how it's going to go out, Mayor Mason.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. Throwing 96 miles an hour behind someone's head is unacceptable in any context.
Got away.
Oh, please. Chris, thank you for doing this. We hope next time we're talking to you, it's straight baseball talk. It's intentional talk, Chris. We hope they get to whatever this is.
Guys, this was a blast. I got all the good lying out of the way from you and everything. I feel like I cleansed the soul. This is really, really good.
All right.
Thanks, Chris.
Man.
You got
see
it.
You, man.
All right, Mace.
I think I won that argument, didn't I?
Mace, this Memphis-Portland game is insane.
I know. It's right down.
There's less than a minute to go. Memphis leads by one. Lillard is
now Blazers lead by two.
The game over. It is Carmelo Anthony's bombing threes from the corner. It's just crazy. We'll update you on it when we come back.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, that Memphis-Portland game is going to overtime. Significant game because we're trying to figure out who the Lakers will play in the first round. Memphis holds that spot at the moment, but if Portland gets within four of Memphis, there will be a play-in game, and there are a couple other teams involved in that. I think, who is it, San Antonio and
there's three.
Sacramento.
San Antonio, Sacramento, Portland, all there, and this game has been as tight of a game as you can have, and now it's going overtime.
Yep. All right, so if you've been under a rock, the Lakers beat the Clippers last night, 103-101. Tomorrow it's Lakers-Raptors, 4 o'clock pregame, 5:30 tip here on 710 ESPN. Dodgers in Arizona for the weekend after taking game one of the series last night. Tony Gonsolin versus Zach Gallen tonight. Clayton Kershaw will pitch Sunday, first start of the year for the Dodgers. He'll pitch in Arizona. And then LAFC versus Orlando today at 4:30. We are streaming that game on the ESPN app. LAFC playing for a berth in the semifinals of the MLS is back tournament.
So they're three wins away from winning the whole thing. If they win tonight, then in two more they win it?
Correct. They're three wins away.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, Diego Rossi. Definitely going to get the golden boot for that tournament. Last night, Lakers, it was an incredibly chippy game. It was a little sloppy. Both teams had a bunch of turnovers.
Well, the thing that stood out about the game, Mace, 57 fouls. 57.
Yeah.
They called 30 on the Clippers and 27 on the Lakers, which means either the refs are too overzealous or both teams just haven't gotten fine-tuned yet and are committing too many fouls. But either way.
Well, and I think both teams, John,
no
didn't both teams have like
happens.
Didn't both teams have close to 20 turnovers?
The Clippers did have 20 and I think the Lakers had 16.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a tune-up game. I thought the most encouraging, and by the way, LeBron spectacular. That's LeBron. Makes the go-ahead bucket on a following through on his own shot, and then spectacular defense on that final sequence in the game where he's D'd up Kawhi, then switches off onto Paul George and makes George take an impossible shot that would have tied or won the game. So LeBron's defense in that final sequence was fantastic. Anthony Davis, fantastic throughout the game. 8 of 19 from the field. Made a couple of threes. He's turned into a pretty good three-point shooter, 2 of 5. 6 of 17 from the line. Went to the free throw line a lot. And I thought, really good bench performance for Kuzma. Really good bench performance for Deion Waiters.
And if you're, if you look at the Clippers, they need to, I mean, those are the types of plays that the Clippers normally make at the end of games. Either Kawhi or Paul George pulls them out. I wonder, Mace, because they've only played 11 games all season with their full complement of players, if chemistry is going to be an issue for them down the stretch. I mean, Lou Williams kind of screwed his team up by making that chicken wing run.
Yes.
If he's out there last night, they probably fare better. And I don't know what's going on with Montrezl Harrell, but he's still not in the bubble. Mark Spears is going to come on next hour. We'll ask Mark about that. But those would be two key pieces for them if they could get them in-house and go from there. And now, if you're the Clippers, you're just a game ahead of Denver, and you could slide to as low as 7. So that's the issue.
They're a game or two games ahead of Denver?
I think they were a game and a half before last night. So now that they lost, they're a game.
Yeah, so they could slide. They could slide. That the seeding is all over the board, 2 through 7. And then, like the two teams we're watching here, Portland's got a 132-128 lead in overtime. They are playing for that 8 spot, which would be the Lakers' opponent in the first round.
I think it's 132-124. They're up okay. By 8. And I was afraid.
Well, you're the play-by-play guy, so you do that part.
I was afraid of this when it got to overtime, that Memphis, who just hasn't learned how to win yet, was going to get blown out. And now they've already fallen behind by 8 in OT. So it looks like Portland might win this one.
Yeah. And pulled to within, won't Portland be within 2.5?
Correct.
So all they got to do is stay within 4. And Memphis drew a really tough schedule. In fact, I think their final games of the year are against Toronto and Milwaukee. So they drew a really tough schedule to wrap up the seeding games. So we'll keep you up to date on that. There's a lot going on. I think Boston jumped on top of Boston jumped in front of Miami or jumped
in front
of Boston.
Right?
Yeah,
Boston-Milwaukee.
Yeah, Boston-Milwaukee, exactly. So that's the next game. We'll keep you up to date on that, too. Coming up next, the headlines, the scoop, all the stuff we haven't talked about yet. And then Mark Spears will join us from Inside the Bubble at 4:15. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, now during COVID-19, a lot of businesses have shut down. Not Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. They are operating at full capacity. I've used them. I've sent them to my mom's house. These guys are people you can count on. And if you're having a plumbing problem, a heating problem, an air conditioning problem, you don't have to wait. These guys are used to working under these conditions, and they've upheld industry-leading standards of safety and hygiene in dealing with COVID-19. So if you have an issue, don't wait. Call Power Pro. They'll get it taken care of quickly. And most of all, they'll treat your house like it's their house. They always get in, get out. They wear masks. They wear foot coverings. You won't even know they were there, and you get your problem fixed. Call 800-584-4116. That's 800-584-4116, or visit powerproplumbing.com.